Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Full Press NFL Podcast. It is Wednesday, September the 28th, 2022, and that means I am joined by Mr. John Sapicetti, and we're going to give our top five NFL teams after 3 weeks. So, John, good morning, and this is coming from a very wet and rainy St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hurricane Ian is striking, and I think they appropriately named it after you. It's about time you got a hurricane named after you.
Well, I mean, consider the timing and the fact that it's football season, and I've been clearly ramping up for quite some time. However, I will say this. They're saying I'm growing to a Cat 3 strength. I've been a Cat 5 strength for quite some time now. I got five of them. So, yeah, you like that. So,
nice.
But we're not here to listen to my terrible, terrible jokes. We're here to give our top five NFL teams. And after 3 weeks, it's getting a little bit interesting, John. So let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into it. We have two undefeated teams left in the league. So, you know, that's will be interesting to see where they land on each of our respective lists. But we're going to jump right into it. Now, the top of my list may be confusing, and part of it may be a little bit, again, projecting, but number five for me are the Packers. I'm still concerned long-term about their offense because, again, I don't think, you know, they don't, it's not like the Bucks who have replacements coming, okay? The injury to hamstring, injury to Jaire Alexander on the defense is certainly concerning. But I think they play well enough, and I think they're certainly the best team in their own division. And I think they you know, you get a win over Tampa, that's impressive, certainly for a team that struggled. So struggled against them. So, yeah, give me the Packers at number five.
Number five for me is a team from Florida, but it's not the Buccaneers. It's the Jaguars.
Oh.
I have Jacksonville at number five. And again, I'm just going from beginning of the season forward. I doubt that the Jaguars will be top five, you know, around Halloween or Thanksgiving or Christmas. But just hear me out on this. They had a lead in Washington, and they had a couple of brain farts and lost the opener. But then since, they shut out Indianapolis. The Colts then went on and beat the Chiefs the next week. And they manhandled the Chargers in week three in L.A., Trevor Lawrence is looking like a franchise quarterback, which is really no surprise. I mean, he's the highest rated quarterback to sign a college since Andrew Luck. And the coaching change from Urban Meyer to Doug Peterson is a major upgrade. I've got Jacksonville at number five. They look like they're going to win that division. I think they have a really good chance to do that. And they've been impressive so far in the first 3 weeks. Spent a lot in free agency.
Yeah.
And there's a bump. There's a bump with that in that first year. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jacksonville wins that division. I have them at number five now.
Well, and like you say, give credit where credit's due because talent doesn't just equal wins. So they have to actually do it on the field. So number four for me are the Bucs. And people are like, oh, how do you have the Bucs ahead of the Packers? Well, I had the Bucs on the list last week and they actually fell. So I still, we talked about it yesterday on FPC Radio Live, or I'm sorry, Monday. And I came away from that game still thinking that I'm like, man, if I'm going to bet on any team, it's certainly the Buccaneers, because although the Packers picked up the win, John, I don't see where the reinforcements right now are coming on offense. So I think this is who they are, which is fine. They can win games certainly in the regular season, but I just don't see that. Like if them and Tampa meet again and Tampa's relatively healthy, I don't think it's close. And I mean, look, I think Tampa did everything in their power to lose that game yesterday. I'm not taking any credit away from the Packers because they played very well. Aaron Rodgers was great, certainly those first couple drives to give them that 14-3 lead. But I'm thinking, man, you put Mike Evans out there, you're talking about maybe a different story because the game was that close. So I still have a lot of faith in this team. I think their defense is still pretty good, just like I think the Packers' defense is pretty good. But, I, you know, if all things being equal, give me the Buccaneers' offense 100 days out of 100.
Number four for me is the Baltimore Ravens. Outside of the fourth quarter against Miami, you can make a case they've been the most impressive team. Beat the Jets in week one, which isn't a great accomplishment. Impressive win in Foxborough week three over the Patriots. And for three quarters, they went up and down the field and dominated Miami. Right now, I say Lamar Jackson is the leading candidate for MVP. I know it's only 3 weeks, but he's obviously earning money every single time he does something on a football field, whether it's a pass or a run. So I've got Baltimore at number four, although their defense is problematic. I mean, the Patriots went up and down the field on Sunday, over 450 yards. If not for the turnovers, the Patriots would have been scoring in the 30s in that game.
Yeah, and look, that's one of the reasons why I didn't put Baltimore on this list. And I thought about it. I certainly did. But I was like, man, that defense, it's bad. That pass defense especially is bad. So number three for me, the Bills. You know, tough loss, you know, doing it without a lot of their starting secondary. But they had opportunities to win. I mean, Tua goes out of that game. They don't take advantage of that. He obviously comes back, and that's a story for another day. But yeah, opportunities were there. And look, good teams have stumbles along the way. And maybe, you know, maybe at the end of the day, we're going to find out maybe Buffalo isn't quite as good as we thought they were. I'm not saying that now. I certainly still think they're a very good team. But being shorthanded certainly hurt. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not gonna drop him too far down the list, but I am gonna have to drop him down to number three because I think it did kind of tarnish that aura of invincibility, so to speak, that they had coming into week three. Because, you know, coming into this week, John, we're looking at Buffalo, we're like by far the best point differential in the league, most points in the league, second fewest given up, checked a lot of boxes, but. They went up against a good Miami team, and we'll get to them. And, yeah, they lost, so.
Yeah, I mean, I got Buffalo at number three as well. The alarming thing about the Bills is when they win, they just blow teams out. When they lose close games. The last six single-score games, they've lost them all. You know, you go back even to the bad weather game against the Patriots in December when they lost. And by 4 points, and then they, you know, lost in overtime to Tampa. We know what happened in overtime against the Chiefs in the postseason. In between all that, it was blowout, blowout, blowout. So they're like the boxer that knocks you out in the first three rounds, or if it gets to a decision, they're in trouble. But still,
they're really like Newman when it rains or the weather's bad, they don't show up to work.
It says it right there. Come rain.
It's
come
the shine. First one.
It's the first one. Yeah, I got Buffalo at number three. I mean, they'll be in there probably all year unless I've misjudged this team. But that was tough because if you win in Miami, you kind of take a stranglehold on the division. You know, you'd be 3-1 up a game, a win at Miami, you know, figuring that Miami's not going to win in Buffalo. So the division, I wouldn't say it was over at that point, but it would have really put them in control, and now they're not. But I got Buffalo at number three.
Number two for me is Miami. I mean, what more can you say? 3-0? Mm-hmm. I've certainly was not as high on them coming into the season, but I'm certainly changing my tune. My hipster doofus comment of Mike McDaniel has aged terribly since I said it right before the start of the season. He's obviously, you know, I'm not crowning him a great head coach quite yet. Again, remember Josh McDaniel started coincidentally very similar last name, but Josh McDaniel's one started 6-0 and he is 1-10. In his last 11 games as a head coach. So, but, you know, what else can you say about Miami? Obviously, you look at the offense, you knew it was going to be dangerous if Tua could play pretty good football. And for the most part, he's playing pretty good football. That's all you need from him right now. You know what I mean? You don't need him to carry the offense because you have, I mean, just an absolute mismatch upon mismatch across the board. And I think they have a pretty good defensive unit. And look, you go up, you beat a team, like I said, the Bills, who came into that week with this aura of invincibility, and you take care of business. I mean, you got to tip your hats off to that. So Dolphins at number two for me.
Number two for me is the Eagles.
Ah.
Probably surprised you there because I was so high on them after that win against Minnesota. And again, they did what they had to do, won on the road in the division against the Commanders, so they're 3-0. There's only 2 3-0 teams, the Eagles and the Dolphins. I just think the Dolphins' wins have been more impressive, especially that win in Baltimore when they came from behind 21 points to win in the fourth quarter, and then going into Buffalo and winning. I mean, hosting Buffalo and beating them. I mean, if you looked at their schedule and you'd say, well, Patriots at home, tough game, and they did their job there. Then they went into Baltimore and won, and then they beat Buffalo at home. You would think the Dolphins would be off to a 1-2 start, but instead they're 3-0. But I have the Eagles at number two. They've been very impressive. And look, Jalen Hurts is just growing as a quarterback, right? Becoming much more accurate. Look at his completion percentage from year to year to year. It just keeps going up. But I got him at number two. But I think they're going to be in there all year. This is a well-rounded team.
Yeah, and look, maybe I've been just drinking too much of the Kool-Aid that you've been giving me all season. But
I pulled the rug out from under you.
Well, no, I am pointing the Eagles at number one. But you, look, you make some really good points about the Dolphins. Their victory is obviously the one over the Ravens. But the Eagles, I feel like, have played – I don't know. I mean, flip a coin. These are the two last undefeated teams, and I think they're both – you know, this isn't Pittsburgh from a few years ago where you're looking at them at like 8-0. You're like, this is the worst 8-0 team I've ever, you know, could ever imagine. This is not the case. I think the Eagles are a really good team. To your point, Jalen Hurts has really started growing. Look, A.J. Brown is an absolute stud. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy goes out there. Tennessee, what the hell are you doing? Like, I don't know the details and the circumstances that led specifically to this move, but I mean, it seems like an absolute slam dunk acquisition for the Eagles, and certainly one that's perfect for Jalen Hurts and this team. So number one for me, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I got the Dolphins obviously at number one, and Tyreek Hill, I don't know if he's the best receiver in football. He's in the discussion, you know, Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp. He may be the most impactful wide receiver in football, right? Because of his ability to stretch the field, he opens up a lot underneath.
I'd say most consistent, too, because he can do a lot more across the board. Like, we've seen Devontae Adams sometimes go silent, but that's because, again, you have a little bit more of a specific use for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, I mean, Devontae can play a little bit in the slot, so can Tyreek Hill, but then you run those jet sweeps with Tyreek Hill, and that's where it really gets kind of chaotic for the defense, absolutely. He almost has a similar effect on the football field that Steph Curry has on the basketball field, on the basketball court, because Steph Curry, you know, because of his ability to hit, like, 35-footers, stretches the opposing defense out that far, so now everything opens up in between that and the basket for everyone else. Tyreek Hill has that similar effect. And now that you're worrying about him, I mean, every defensive back has like one eye on Tyreek Hill. Like, where is he? Oh, my Lord, he's 60 yards from the line of scrimmage. You know, we have to try to cover him there. And it just opens up a lot for another speedster in Jalen Waddle, who's a stud, too. And then Mike Gesicki, the tight end. So this is going to be a problem all year. But I've got them at number one. You're right. Tyreek Hill is the real deal. And look, the Chiefs, yeah, they took care of business against Arizona in week two. The last 2 weeks, they've put up, what, 20 and 17 points on offense without Tyreek Hill, so they do miss him.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they I believe one of their touchdowns came on a very short field, and I believe the big play that gave them an opportunity to even have a chance late in that game was made by the punter, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't realize that at first, and then I came back when I reread who completed what to who, and I'm like, wait, what? What's going on here? So that's going to do it here for us here today. That's our top five NFL teams. If you have any problems, concerns, complaints, feel free to DM John at JohnSapp25 and leave me the hell alone. No, obviously I'm joking, but thank you everyone for tuning in. The two of us will be back next Wednesday for our top five teams after week four. So until then, be sure to follow the Full Press NFL podcast wherever you get your podcast and listen to all the latest episodes. We have our Studs and Duds episode from yesterday with myself and Brandon Holosek, and of course we will be doing stuff throughout the week as we prepare for week four. So thank you everyone, stay tuned, and we will talk to you soon.